There is something very, very fascinating about Parashat Noach. Every time I come to Parashat Noach, I see another dimension of Noach's personality. And I'll tell you, I have a feeling that this morning's shiur is a shiur in which I'm going to do tshuva for things that I said last year or 2 years ago about Noach. Noach, according to some, it is to be commended. He receives accolades, deserves to be praised. And then, of course, according to others, he is condemned, criticized, forever found fault with. This is, of course, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin that Rashi quotes. Eileh told us, now these are the generations of Noach, the first pasuk. Noach was ish tzaddik, he was a righteous man. Tomim hoya b'dorasav, he was complete in his generations. Et ha'elukim hithalech Noach, Noach went with God. That word, b'dorotav, the Gemara asks, what does it mean, b'dorotav, in his generation? It could be understood in one of two ways, and the fact is that Rabbi Yochanan understands it one way, and Rav Lakish understands it another way. Rabbi Yochanan understands it as a limitation. In his generation, for his generation, he was a tzaddik. Would he have been in another generation? For example, would he have been in the generation of Avraham? Lo hayah nechshav l'klum, Noach wouldn't have amounted to anything. In his generation, a generation of evil, of immoral and unethical people, a generation that had begun to deteriorate so rapidly, in that kind of a generation, so Noach was a tzaddik. In other generations, he wouldn't be. Rish Lakish, who is the perennial Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yochanan, is the one who says, what are you talking about? If Noach was a tzaddik in his generation, if he was able to withstand the onslaught against morality that had enveloped mankind and still remain firm and strong in his convictions, Kal v'chomer would he be in a generation of tzaddikim, how much greater would Noach would be. And therefore there's always this movement, like a pendulum swinging back and forth. Sometimes we see the praiseworthy part of Noach's personality, and then there are times, of course, that one simply comes face to face with the unsavory aspects of his personality. I tell you, there was something that I think, after going through the Seder so many times, it was last year or 2 years ago, that I noticed something that simply shook me. So much happens in the Seder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and tells him, I'm going to bring a marble, and he gives him a command to make a teva. And he makes the teva, and the Rebbe Shem tells him, in another 7 days there's going to be rain, I want you to go into the teva. From all living creatures, two are to come, from those that are tahor, seven are to come. He goes in, 40 days and 40 nights, terrible rain, the waters continue to rise for 150 days. Noach finally comes out of the teva. So much has transpired. And during all of this, do you know, not a word is uttered by Noach. We don't hear a word from Noach. Do you know when we hear Noach speak for the first time? It says, Vayochel Noach ish ha'adama. Tell you exactly where to look. It says that Noach, the man of the earth, planted a vineyard. Perek 9, Pasuk Perek. Perek 9, Pasuk 20. Ha. Vayochel Noach ish ha'adama v'yitakorem. Noach, the man of the earth, planted a vineyard. Vayesh Benayayin, and he drank from the wine. Vayishkor, and he became drunk. Vayidgal v'tocha halo, and he became revealed naked within his tent. Vayar chom avi Knan, Chom, the father of Knan, saw the nakedness of his father. He told his two brothers, Shem and Yefet are the ones who take the blanket on their backs. They come walking in backwards so as not to see the nakedness of their father, and they cover him. And then we come to Pasuk 25. Vayomer. The first word that's uttered from Noah's mouth is Arur. Arur Canaan. Let Canaan be cursed. Evan Agodim Yelechav. He should be a slave of slaves to his brothers. Vayomer, he speaks again. All of a sudden, this Noah, who's been silent since the beginning of the Sedra. Cataclysmic events have literally destroyed an entire world, and he's at the center of it all. Still, you don't hear a word of it. And when he finally does speak, so I'll tell you, I would have felt a little better if he would have begun by blessing Shem and Yafet and leaving the curse of Canaan to afterwards. But that's not what he does. Vayomer, he says, Oro Canaan. Oro is the first word that comes out of his mouth. Vayomer, and then he says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, blessed is the God of Shem. By the way, that's not the approach I'm going to take today. That's one aspect of his personality. It's on these remarks that I plan on doing tshuva this morning, because I discovered another dimension of Noach's personality. Of course, there are those who say, the comparison. Go make a comparison between Noach of the Sedra and then the great one who appears at the very end of the Sedra, Avram. Avram appears on the scene of world history at the end of the Sedra. What a difference between Noach and Avram. Avram speaks out, he's strong, he's forthright, he's determined. What does Rashi say at the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha? Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram and tells him, Lech Lecha Me'artzem Me'lavetem Be'Beis Avicha, leave your birthplace, your father's house, the city in which you live, and go to the land that I will show you. So he takes his wife Sarai, he takes Lot, Bes HaNefesh Asher Osav B'Choron, the souls that he had made in Choron. Says Rashi, in Choron, Soro Megayeret Et HaNoshim, Soro was the one who converted the women, and Avram is the one who is Megayeret HaNoshim and converts the men. In other words, Soro and Avram are teaching their great discovery to the world, that there's a Rabbeinu Shlilim, Yesh Manhig L'Birazu. They talk about it, they advertise it, they make it known, they shout it, so to speak, from the rooftops. No silence there. And then of course, Avram is the one, when he is told by the Rebbeinu Shlilim in Parashat Vayera that the Rebbeinu Shlilim plans on destroying Sodom and Amorah, oh, is Avram able to communicate? He becomes a master communicator. The judge of the whole world is not going to do justice. That's quite a powerful statement to say to the Rebbeinu Shlilim. And then, of course, classic Middle Eastern haggling begins. And maybe there are 50 tzaddikim in the city. All right, the 50 tzaddikim, I atma, svoyim, stom, and amar, we say. And the house went by 50, so what's wrong if there are 5 missing? There are 5 missing. So there are 5 missing. We have 45. Yeah, 45. 40, 30, 20, 10. Avram Avinu drives a very hard bargain. He's able to speak out. When Hashem tells him there's going to be destruction, he's not going to make this sitting down. Okay? Sometimes I wonder. Should one really have put themselves out that much for Sodom and Amorah? Sodom and Amorah were the antithesis of Avram. They rejected everything that he stood for. They were the disloyal opposition. They despised everything that Avraham Avinu stood for. So you'll say, right, that's the greatness of Avraham. Great Baal Chesed, he's able to challenge God, to confront God, to speak out. And Noach, Mehesh Kumpor to Noach. You don't hear a word from him. And when he finally does open up his mouth, so it's unfortunately what comes out is Orul Kenan, that Kenan be cursed. But I'll tell you, there's another way. There's another way to look at it. And it's that other way that I want to elaborate on this morning. And I don't mean to denigrate Avraham. Avraham's greatness remains for all time. But let's make a cheshbon when it's all over. Let's figure it all out. To what degree did Avraham Avinu succeed in his own lifetime? What happened to all of the souls that Avraham and Sarah made in Haran? Is there a zecher? Is there any? What happened to them? Where are all of the legions? How many divisions does Avraham Avinu have? He prayed for Sodom and Amorah. Sodom and Amorah were destroyed. There weren't even 10 tzaddikim in Sodom and Amorah. Fact is, even on the personal level, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about Avraham's closest associates. I don't know whatever happened to Eliezer, who was his great Talmud all of those years. I don't know what became of Eliezer. I don't want to become political, so I'm not going to talk about his son Yishmael, what happened to him. What did he have from it all? You know what he had from it all? Yitzchak is what he had from it all. That was his only success. Of course, in a broader sense, and we talked about this a number of times, I've quoted Paul Johnson in his History of the Jews, who describes the fact that the world, as we know it today, is a completely different place because a man called Abraham walked the face of this earth. Avraham Avinu's impact was an impact for generations for millennia to come. He says it could be that the truths that were mouthed by Avraham may or may not have been discovered by mankind somewhere down the centuries. Says chances are that they would never have discovered it. So that Avraham Avinu made a contribution to the world, the knowledge of a one invisible God, and an ethics and a morality that comes from it, and that man is created in the image of God. These are tremendous ideas. And the one who brought it to the attention of the world was Avraham. So I'm not saying that Avraham is not one of the greatest success stories of all time. There's no question about that. But, you know, the things that we say about him, you know, Megayeres Hanoshim, this Hanoshim over there in Chara, nothing came of them, nothing came of Sodom and Amorah. If one wants to check those accomplishments, so listen, so Noah had three children. Shem became the father, ultimately, the Zayd of Avraham. That's not bad. Shem was not bad. Yefet wasn't a big Talmud Chacham, but he went to college, understand? He studied Greek philosophy. My son, the college professor. So Yefet, not my son, the rabbi, which is, of course, the ultimate of all, my son, the Talmud Chacham. But Yefet, you know, there was certain beauty that were brought to the world as a result of Yefet. So he failed with Chacham. So he failed with Chacham, you know, two out of three is not bad. Avraham Avinu had many children and had Nachas Yiddish and Nachas only from Yitzchak. All right. So when we begin to look at things in those terms, so yes, Noach is silent Noach. Who was it? Was it Coolidge? Silent Cal? Calvin Coolidge? Yes, Yabla Chach Mashtika, yeah. No, it's not a terrible thing. It's not really something to condemn him about that he remained silent. No, it's so many right. Difference between Noach and Avraham is that Avraham prayed for Sodom and Amorah. And we don't hear a word from Noach to save his own generation. Avraham with his talking out and confronting and challenging God didn't save Sodom and Amorah either. I think that we have to take a second and a closer look at Noah. And I think we're going to find something very fascinating. I'll tell you, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Let's take a look. Perek Tet, Posek Yud Chet. No, well, I'm always looking at the wrong pages. I'm sorry, one page back. Revi, Perek Chet, Posek Tetvav. Vayedaber Elokim El Noach Lemor. Elohim spoke to Noah, so saying. Do you know what has happened up until now? Revi, Vayedaber Elohim El Noach Lemor. It's chapter 8, Pasuk. Chapter 8, right? Pasuk 15. Chet Tetvav. All right. Vayedaber Elohim El Noach Lemor. The Elohim spoke to Noah. When is this? This is already, the Mabul is over. Not only the Mabul is over, Noah has already sent the raven. And after the raven, he sends out the dove. Sends out the dove. Once, sends out the dove. Twice. Finally, the dove comes floating, flying back with an olive leaf in its mouth. It's most probably the last time that a dove with an olive leaf saw a world at peace. Because there was nobody there. And that poor dove has never meant the same anymore. All right, so the dove comes back. So what does he know? He knows that not only is the Mabul over, he knew that the rain had stopped. He knows already that the waters have begun to recede. Because a few months earlier already, the Teva had come to rest on Mount Ararat. What he has to know is, has the ground become dry? Are things growing in the world? He knows it already. And I want you to hear the meaning of this pasuk. This sounds like a command. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. God speaks to Noach, and he tells him, "Tzema natevav, go out of the ark. Ato v'ishtecho, you and your wife, uvanecho and your sons, uvishevanecho yitach, and the wives of your sons with you. Kol akai ashiritcho. All of the living beings who are with you, mikol basa, from all flesh, fowl and animal, all that creeps upon the face of this earth, take them out with you. The shoritzu baretz, they should spread, creep through the world, and they should be fruitful and multiply." Pasuk Yudchet. Vayetze Noach, ubanav, v'ishto, Noach and his sons and his wife and the wives of his sons came out with him. I have two problems here. Problem number one is the command that the Rebbeinu gave to him was a very specific one. Do you know what the command was in Pasuk 16? Seimen hatevav, go out of the ark, ato v'yishtecha, you and your wife. Uvanecha and your sons, unushevanecha yitach, and the wives of your sons with you. The fact is that when the Rebbeinu had told them to go into the Teva, they were told to go in separately, men separately, women separately, because there will not be intimate relations during the period of the Teva. The world, the period of the Mabul, because the world is in Tzavos, it's prohibited. And therefore, earlier it says, Vayavo Noach Ubanov, that's in Perek Zion, Pasig Zion, 7:7. Vayavo Noach Ubanov, Noach and his sons came, Vishto Nishabanabito, his wife, and the wives of his sons with him. El Hateva Mifne Mehamabu before. So you see, they're separated. Noach and his sons are one group. Noach's wife and the daughters in law are a separate group. It's repeated again. Pasuk 13. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, right there in Perek 7. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, on that day, bo Noach, v'shem, v'cham, v'yefet b'nei Noach. Noach, shem, cham, and yefet, the children of Noach. And first half of the pasuk, mechitza, separation, division. Ve'eshet Noach. Separately came in the wife of Noach, Shloshet Nishei Bonav Itam El HaTeva, and the three wives of his sons with him to the Teva. Because he is being told when they go in that there is to be separation between men and women. Now when we come back to our parasha over here, the Rishon tells him, go out of the ark. How does he tell him to go out? Out of Yishtacha, you and your wife, your children and their wives. Pasuk 18 again. How does Noach do it? Vayetze Noach ubonav. Noach and his sons went out, and Ishto Nishay Bonavito. Do you know what Noach is doing? He is defying God. He is confronting God. You told me to go out with my wife, I'm not. You told my children to go out with their wives, I'm not going to do it. He is confronting, he is challenging. He's challenging God. Another thing. Why? Why does the Rabbeinu Shlalem have to tell him, Tzei min ha-teva, go out of the ark? He was fulfilling a mitzvah by being in the teva? What did the Rabbeinu Shlalem expect? What did Noach, he was going to remain in the teva for the rest of his natural life? He wasn't the teva so that he can be saved from the Mabul. The Mabul is over, and he knows that the earth has dried. So you go out. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for an invitation to leave the teva. What's he staying there for? Why must there be a communication by Yadaber Elokim El Noach? Elokim has to speak to Noach, and he has to tell him, command him, give him a mitzvah. Same in Hateva. Go out of the teva. You know what's happening when Noach knows that the Mabul is all over? By the way, you know what occurs to me now? He's been sending out his raven and his dove to find out whether it's all dry. He knows that it's all dry. If he doesn't plan on going out of the teva, why does he want to know whether it's dry? If he plans on staying here for the rest of his unnatural life, why does he have to send out the Orev and the Yonah to find out that the earth is dry, and then he knows. And more than that, the pasuk before said, "Vayosar Noach es michsa teva." Noach removed the covering of the teva. Vayar. He already saw with his own eyes. The earth has become dry. You know why he wants to know whether it's dry? I believe he wants to know that it's dry, so he can defy God. He wants to defy him. He wants to confront him. He wants to tell the nation, it's dry out there. I'm not going out. If you command me to go out, I'll go out. But I don't want to go out. Why doesn't he want to go out? You know why he doesn't want to go out? Because he doesn't want to set foot in the biggest cemetery of all. The Rabbeinu Shlalem has taken a world and destroyed it. And wherever his foot is going to tread, you know what he's treading on? He's treading on the graves of all of mankind. Rabbeinu Shlalem, if you command me to go out there, I'll do it. But I'm reluctant. You destroyed the world. Is it possible? Is it possible that there are other things that are going through the mind of Noah? We in this generation, unfortunately, have learned of a terrible psychological syndrome called the survivor syndrome. The one who feels terribly, terribly guilty that the whole mishpucha was destroyed at place in Auschwitz, Birkenau, and why did I remain? It's unjustified, it's illogical, it's irrational, but feelings don't have to be justified, rational, and logical. But that the feeling exists, and it's an illogical sense of guilt that a person carries with himself his whole lifetime. Noah knows what has happened out there, and he's the survivor. He doesn't want to come face to face with it. Is it possible also that maybe now Noah is also racked with other guilt? Maybe I could have done more. Maybe I could have done more. Maybe I could have done more to save the world. But in the final analysis, what Noach is really saying by refusing to go out until the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to tell him to go out, what Noach is really doing is he is challenging the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself. I don't want to step foot on the world that you turned into a mass graveyard. You want me, you commanded me to go out with my wife, I will not. Here already the defiance of Noach takes on a stronger form of defiance. You told me to go out of the tape, I didn't want to go. All right, I went out. But you also told me to go out with my wife and my children with their wives. No, we're not going to do it. This is already a head-on collision with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. In order to confront either man or God, it's not always necessary to do it verbally. There's nonverbal confrontation. And what I believe, and that's really the point of this morning's shiur, Noach is the master of non-verbal confrontation. And this is not the beginning. This is not when he didn't begin now. He confronted God defiantly before the Mabul. Back at the beginning. Sheni, Perek 7, Zion, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem l'Noach. The Rebbeinu Shlomo told Noach, "Bo atov v'chol beis chol ateva, come with your entire family into the ark. Ki otcha ra'iti tzadik l'fanai b'dor hazeh, because I've seen you as a tzadik in this generation." All right, and then bring from all of the animals. Gamayo pashamayim, pasuk 4, ki liyamim oud shivah nochi mam tiral oretz. In another 7 days, I'm going to bring rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Hey. Pasuk Hey, Vayas Noach, Kechol Asher Tzivu Hashem. Noach did everything that the Rebbeinu Shlomo commanded him. Not really. Watch. And Sheish Meir Shana Mabul Lo Yamayim Al Eretz Noah was 600 years old when the Mabul came up on the face of this earth. Vayavo Noach Ubanav, the Ishto and his wife, Unishay Banav, and the wives of his children, Ito Al Ateva. Why did they go into the Teva? Did they go into the ark because the Rebbeinu Shlomo had said earlier, "Bo atov v'chol beitcha, you and your whole family come into the ark"? No, that's not what the pasuk says. Pasuk says, you know why he went into the teva? Mipnei mei hamavul, because of the waters of the mavul. Says Rashi, mipnei mei hamavul. Af Noach miktanei amona haya. Noach was also. And I don't have the correct translation for Ketane Amono yet. Ketane Amono would literally be a small believer. Didn't have too much faith, but we'll see right away that's going to be a difficult way to translate it. Afnach miketane amono haya. Mamin ve'eno mamin. He believed and he didn't believe. Sheyavo ha-mabul, that the mabul would come. V'lo nichnas la-teva. And he didn't go into the teva chedachku amayim until the waters pushed him. And the fact is that once he gets in, you know how the Rebbeinu Shlomo makes certain that he's not going to leave the teva. In pasuk 17, v'haboyim zohar unikeva mikol bosavo kashetzi otolakim v'yizkor Hashem ba'ado. The Rebbeinu Shlomo locked the door on him. And why does he go in if they may hamabo? And you know now, Mamish, as I'm looking at it, there's the Rashi and Pasuk Hey Vayas Noach did everything that the Rebbeinu Shlomo told him. Zed biato lateva. His coming to the ark. It does not mean his coming into the ark. He's not going to go into the cave until the water's pushing. That's what Rashi says afterwards. He's standing out there. The rain has begun. And Noach is standing in the rain. What does it mean that he's a small believer? Do you know what it really means? Mamin ve'eino mamin. He believes yet he doesn't believe that it will happen. You know what he can't believe? Rebbei Shleilam, I can't believe you're going to do it. Do you know what he's saying? You know what he's saying by standing in the rain outside of the Teva? Precisely what Abraham verbalizes when he says, Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat, the judge of the whole world is not going to do mishpat. Rebbeishim, you're going to destroy Sodom and Amorah, Adam and Slave. I can't believe you're going to do it. I can't believe you're going to do it. Noach is standing there and he's getting wet in the terrible downpour. He simply can't believe that the Rebbeishim is going to do it. You know what he is defiantly saying as he stands outside the Teva? Rebbeishim, you know what? I'm challenging you. Let's see who's gonna chicken out first. I'm gonna stand here. I can't believe that you're gonna do it. Can't believe you're gonna do it. So therefore to translate Tanei Amana as, you know, a small believer, this is a big believer. You know what he is? He's a big believer in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's being Erech Apayim, long suffering, Virav Chesed. Rebbeinu Shlomo, I can't for the life of me believe that you're going to destroy the world. It's only when he sees the waters swirling around him and Mipnei Meham Babu, there is no choice left, he goes into the table. And he might even be ready to jump out until the Rebbeinu Shlomo closes the door. Do you know what Noach is the master of? Noach is the master of non-verbal confrontation. There are ways in which people can make their will known without uttering a word. Without uttering a word. I'm not ready anymore to accept that Noach is unconcerned about all of humanity. For 120 years he's been building a table. Then he had a great deal to say. People would ask him, what are you building over here in your backyard? He doesn't. Listen, God told me that there's going to be a mammoth that's going to destroy the world. He talks to people, but in his relationship with the Rebbeinu he uses a method of a completely different sort. There are all sorts of means of communication. There are those who communicate through poetry and those who communicate through prose. Those who communicate their ideas through music and those who communicate their ideas through art. Noah has his own way of doing it. He'll stand out in the pouring rain. And he's really turning heavenward. What? The Rishon doesn't know what's going on in his mind. The Rishon doesn't know what's going on in his mind. Of course he knows. He knows what Noach is saying by standing there in the rain. The Rishon, I can't believe you're going to do it. And the only thing that's going to send me into that Teva is if you force me in. Just as all over, he's not going to step out of the Teva until the Rishon tells him, save our Teva, go out of the Teva. Leave it. He doesn't want to go out because he wants to tell the Rebbeinu Shleilam, I don't agree with what you did. There had to be a better way. There had to be a different way. And then, of course, there is the second defiance. He's not ready. He's not ready to have children. Not under these circumstances. He's not ready to have children. Do you want to see what Noach accomplishes with his non-verbal communication? It's awesome. I only noticed that you have to look at the flow of the psukim. Let's go back to... Pasuk 20 in chapter 8. Vayiva Noach Mizbeach Lasha. Noach builds a Mizbeach. Vayikach Mikol HaBehem HaTahori. He took from all of the pure kosher animals. Mikol HaOf HaTor. Vayal Olot BaMizbeach. He brought Olot BaMizbeach. Vayorach Hashem Et Reach HaNichoach.
And the Rebbein Shalom smelled the Reach HaNichach, the carbon. Yomer Hashem Olivo, Lo Osif L'Kalil Odeh HaAdoma. And Hashem said, the usual translation is, Yomer Hashem Olivo, the Rebbein Shalom said to himself, Lo Osif L'Kalil Odeh HaAdoma, I'm no longer going to curse the earth, Ba'avur HaAdom, because of man, Ki Yetze Leib HaAdom Ramin Urav, because man's inclination is evil from his youth. Below Osif Od Lahakot et Kol Chai Kasher Ositi, I will not smite all living beings as I've done. There's another way to read this pasuk, and I believe the Ksav HaKabbalah reads it in a different way, and it gives the whole pasuk a completely new dimension. By Yomer Hashem Elibo, the Rebbein Shem speaks to whose heart? To Noah's heart. Do you know what the Rebbein Shem is now being confronted with? An act of defiance that is so powerful. Who else defies the Rebbein Shem in that way? Amram. Paro decrees that every Jewish male child is going to be thrown into the Nile. Do you know what Amram does? He divorces his wife through heaven. Why does he divorce his wife through heaven? And it says, Ondu Kol Yisrael. And they also divorce their wives. Do you know what Amram is doing? Amram is defying the Rebbein Shalom. Rebbein Shalom, if Jewish children are going to be killed, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop having children. And then what will happen to all of your great plans? You want a Klal Yisrael to give Torah to? We have you over a barrel. There's a covenant over here. And there are two sides to that covenant. If Jewish children are going to be killed, we're simply not going to have Jewish children. And let's see who calls chicken first. That's what Amram is doing. Didn't Chazal say that? There's a Gemara that says, Miyom, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Dinhu. You know what we should do? The right thing is, we should decree about ourselves, Lo le'chol bosa, v'lo lishtos yayin, v'lo le'seit isha, v'lo le'holid banim, elo zaro shel agonavim kolam yeleim. Do you know what we should do since the Churban? They saw the Churban as the destruction of the spiritual center of Klal Yisrael. A nation is destroyed. We shouldn't eat meat, we shouldn't drink wine, we shouldn't marry, we shouldn't have children, and let the seed of our comedy simply disappear from the face of the earth by itself. We will commit national suicide. Where are you going to be then? You're going to be left holding the Torah. We have a means. We have a means of confronting the Rebbein Shalom, and that's exactly what Amram is doing. So what is it that his daughter Miriam says to him? Miriam says to him that your gzera is worse than the gzera of Paro. Paro, lo gazer alaz lecharim, Paro only decreed that male children should be thrown into the Nile. According to you, female children aren't going to be born either. So what was the machloket over here between Amram and Miriam? Amram's plan could only work on one condition. The only way Amram's plan of confronting God also non-verbal confrontation, that's what Amram is. The only way it can work is if all of Klal Yisrael, to the last man and woman, refuse to have children, then it can work, because then we have confronted God. You're not going to have a Klal Yisrael. You better call off these terrible gzeiros. But what happens if not everybody is as strong as Amram and those around him? Do you know what it will mean? The morally weak will have children, and the tzaddikim are not going to have children. That's what Miriam is telling her father. It would work, Tata, if everybody would do it. But what happens if the not that pious are going to have children, and the pious and the religious will not have children? It's one of the problems that could have faced the Catholic Church. Who are the intelligentsia, the intellectuals? Who are the ones with all the great IQ, the the priests, and the priests had to be celibate. So there go the greatest IQs being removed from the gene pool of the Catholic Church, of the Sonntagshofen, that they weren't such tzaddikim, the so-called celibate priests. And it was only because they were not such tzaddikim that a certain amount of IQ still remained within the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. Noach is doing what Amram did. Noach is doing what Klal Yisrael said after the Churban Habayis. We do have a way of confronting you who make a dilemma. We do have a way. You want to climb yourself? You're going to have to make the conditions different. Do you know what happens over here in Parshat Noach? As I picture it, the Rebbein Shlomo begins, and you know what's going to come out of the Rebbein Shlomo now? A torrent. Lot of words, because Vayomer Hashem Elivo, God knows that he must repair his relationship with Noah, or there won't be a world. There won't be a world. Therefore, Vayomer Hashem Elivo, the Revelation speaks to the heart of Noah. I'm not going to curse the earth because of man. What does the question mean? That man from his youth is bad? So, you know what the question was saying? That he failed. He created a bad man? I mean, is that what the question was saying? Mina Urav can be understood in another way. The man can mean either from his early youth or Mina Urav because of his youth. Society is still young. Civilization is still young. Mina Urav because of his youth. Because the world is still young. Man hasn't learned how to create a society. What did I put him in the world for? He's going to have to learn by trial and error how to create a society in which man can survive with fellow man. I have to have more patience. It's going to take them another 1,000 years until they learn. It's not that God is saying, I have created a worse than imperfect being. I created an evil being. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, man, society, civilization is just going to need more time. They're just going to need more time. They're going to have to come out of, the status of caveman, and they're going to have to start moving up, and they're going to have to start building all of the trappings of a civilization and a society in which man can live peacefully with fellow man. And then below Osifot Lahakot et Kol Chai, Pasuk 22, God promises all the seasons will continue. O Kol Yemei Haaretz, all the days of the earth, Zera Bekotzer, there will be planting, there will be harvesting, Bekor Behom, cold and heat, Kayetz Bechora, summer and winter, Yom Valayla, day and night, Lo Yishbos will not end. Is there a response from Noach? Do you know what I believe? Noach is standing before the Rebbeinu Shleilam, poker face, no twitch of emotion. He makes no step whatsoever to begin the process of building a new world. So you know what? So the Rebbeinu Shleilam has to keep going. First, he started with a command, same in our table, go out of the table, you and your wife, your children and their wives. And then he says, I promise. And Rashi says, Loshin Shvur, he says it twice, Lo Osin, I will not destroy again, I swear. That's what Yeshayahu says in Haftarah. May Noach Zos, I have sworn never to bring May Noach again. Where is the oath? Because he says it twice, the Gemara says, that's the oath. But Noach has not capitulated yet. So you know what's necessary? After a command of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, after the appeasement of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, after his promise, The Rebbeinu Shem blesses Noach and his sons, and he says to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the entire earth. And more than that, the Pesukim that are going to come, Bed, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, the Rebbeinu Shem is going to set out a pattern for man, the relationship between man and the animal world, the prohibition of murder, all sorts of things. He's going to set the blueprint for society. And then again he's going to repeat in Pasuk 7. And you know what? It's not only the repetition of a blessing. I hold it's a plea. Va'atem pru revu. You be fruitful and multiply. Abseikmo, the second time he says it. Shir tzu ba'aretz. Spread out all the world. Urevu ba'a. Multiply throughout the world. The Roshim is pleading with Noah. And Noah still hasn't said a word. Has all of this impacted on him? Is he ready to follow God's directives? Kimel Noach Lamar. After Vayomer Hashem a few times, after Vayavarech Elokim, still not enough. Vayomer Elokim El Noach Velpanov et Chamishi. Elokim says to Noach and his sons, Lamar. I'm going to make a treaty, a covenant with you. Brachas are not enough. Mitzvahs are not enough. Do you know what Noah wants? He wants a commitment. He wants a covenant. He wants a treaty, a heskein. And the heskein is going to have a sign sealed. All of this is pouring literally out of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and Noach hasn't said a word, because Noach is the master of nonverbal confrontation. You don't always have to say what's on your mind. There are other ways in which to communicate. The Rebbeinu Shel says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Pasuk 11, V'hakimoti et brit yitchem. Not only have I promised it before I said Lo Osef, I will not destroy all flesh from the water of Mabul. Velo yihya od Mabul l'shachet haaretz. It will never again be a Mabul. Do you hear the promises, the guarantees? You can hear the Rebbeinu pleading with Noach. Vayomer Elokim nochav al vayomer Elokim. Do you understand what happened over here between the Vayomer Elokim of Pasuk 8 and the Vayomer Elokim of Pasuk Yudbet? In from Pasuk Chet until Yudbet, the Rebbeinu Shem had again made the promise, and he now turned the promise into a treaty and a covenant. Has Noach twitched? Has he in any way given any indication that he is ready to accept the Rebbeinu Shem's offer? No. The Rebbeinu Shem knows he has to do one more thing. The treaty has to have an oath hapchit, a sign of the Brit. And therefore by Yomer Elokim, the Rebbeinu Shem speaks again. Zot ot ha-Brit asher ani notein beini u-beinichem. This is the sign of the covenant between me and you. U-bein ha-ara l'dorot olam for all generations et kashti natati ba'anam. The rainbow will be a reminder of my promise. Pasuk 17, the Rebbeinu Shem has to speak again. Vayomer Elokim al Noach, Zot od habrit asher hakimoti beini ubein kol basar asher al ha'aretz. And in the middle he said another few times, there will never again be a Mabul. I don't think any place in Torah do we find, as we've been using I think appropriate words, the flow of words from the Rebbeinu Shem, the torrent, the outpouring, the flood. These are such great words, and all without a word out of Noah. All without a word out of Noah. Because, as I say, I believe the dimension of Noah that we have discovered now is that not all confrontation must necessarily be verbal. There are other ways, in which we can show our pleasure or our displeasure. What Avram does verbally, Noach does non-verbally. It may very well be the difference between in the relationship that exists between Noach and the Bein Shalema. So yes, Noach is he imperfect? Of course he's imperfect. And because he's imperfect, therefore there's the ongoing debate. Yesh darshan l'shvach, yesh darshan l'gnai. I mean, here right after all of this, and it's not really right after, he's going to get drunk. Can anybody blame him for getting drunk? Can anybody blame him for getting drunk? The man saw the ultimate Holocaust of all. He lives with all of the guilt of being the survivor. He lives with all of the guilt of thinking, maybe I could have done more to save the world. Isn't that enough reason to just want to block everything out? I don't even find fault with the fact that he gets drunk. I can understand it from Noach. I can understand it. And then in the final analysis, he failed. Yeah, so with his non-verbal confrontation, he failed. So Avraham Avinu also failed. Yirmiyahu was also a failure for 40 years. Yirmiyahu is trying to save Yerushalayim and he fails. It's not such a tragedy to be a failure. Some of the great failures of history are the ones whose words live on. Failure and success are not necessarily judged within one lifetime. An impact of a Yirmiyahu shook a world. And Ad Hayom Hazeh, you have to keep learning Yirmiyahu over and over again to be able to see the events of our days right there in the words of Yirmiyahu. It's awesome. It's awesome what Yirmiyahu was. In his own day, he didn't succeed. He failed. So Noach also failed, but it does not make him less of a man. One final point. It could be that the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who judges Noach harshly. Rish Lakish is the one who judges him in a more favorably. It may very well have to do with the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish themselves. There are two ways to judge a person. One way to judge a person is to look at his essential nature, what he is. The other way to look at a person is, what did he make of himself? If we are to judge between Noach and Avram in their essential personality, their persona, what they were, there's no question about it, Avram is ultimately greater, infinitely greater than Noach. But if we have to judge the circumstances that brought about a Noach, under what conditions he was able to achieve greatness, then we have to say that Noach's accomplishment to remain pure and tzaddik tamim while the whole world has deteriorated and has become evil, this is a great accomplishment. You know what it really is? It's really the difference between, in modern parlance, we would call it the difference between the FNB and the BP, the Frum from birth and the Baal Tshuva. The Frum from birth is the one who may very well achieve tremendous levels of greatness, and in his essential nature, he may be greater than the Baal Tshuva. But when one takes into consideration the effort, the tremendous and awesome effort of the Baal Tshuva, he leaves the Frum from birth behind in a cloud of smoke. Rish Lakish was a gladiator. Rish Lakish was a highwayman. And do you know who was Makar of him? Rabbi Yochanan was Makar of him. And he was Makar of him to the point that Rish Lakish became his big bar plukta. And not only that, he gave him his sister in marriage. Rish Lakish, the gladiator, the man of blood, you understand, became the brother-in-law of Rabbi Yochanan, and the great Talmud Chacham, is there a page, kemat, I mean, in Shas without a Rabbi Yochanan, or a Rish Lakish, or an Abaye, whatever. So Rish Lakish is looking at it from the point of view of the accomplishment. To become a Rish Lakish
from what Rish Lakish was, the society in which he found himself, the ambience, everything opposed to goodness and morality, and a Rish Lakish appears. He's able to look at Narach and say, Ish, Sadik, Tamim, Hoya, Pintajosa, in such generations, then what he would be in other generations. Rabbi Yochanan is not that kindly, because Rabbi Yochanan is looking at the essential Narach. In terms of the essential Narach, and what Avraham Avinu is, of course Avraham is greater. But they lived different lives, they lived in different times. Able to able, both of them achieved greatness. Avraham Avinu, his greatness was expressed by his ability to confront God verbally, and Noah's greatness was in the fact that he was able to confront the Rebbeinu Shlomo non-verbally. That's it.